All right, guys, we got an incredible night for you. Everybody, come on in, grab a seat. Everybody seated, everybody facing here. I'll restate for some of you because we did have a lot of people gone last week. It's spring break. I did email this out. Our guidelines have been updated, and masks on our campus are now optional. However, young people, if your parents have expressed a preference that you keep your mask on, we're asking you to honor your father and mother and or mother. And so keep those masks on if your folks have asked you to. But if they have given you the option, we are giving you the option. One more thing on this, and then we'll move on to much more entertaining things. We also want to show preference towards others and love and consideration towards others. And so if you are going to be sitting right next to someone who is wearing a mask or having a close conversation or interaction with them, just have your mask ready and just put it on to be friendly and accepting and welcoming towards them. But if they're like, no, I'm not wearing it, you're not wearing it, okay, whatever, it's fine. So work it out with your groups. When you're sitting close like this, if the people around you are wearing one, go ahead and put one on and then we'll party, okay? All right, hey, let me pray. I want to pray, and then actually, I'm not going to pray. I'm going to invite you to pray. And so let me preface what we're doing tonight. We're on the letter L. This is our last week of the letter L, and I'm going to talk more about what's coming next week. But remember, the letter L is life change. We take action and make the changes that God wants to make in our lives. And hopefully, your book work has been inspiring you as you've opened up the Bible and you've considered some of the things looking back on your inventory. You've realized some changes that not just you want to make, but that God wants to make in your life. And I'm going to ask you to start off by praying tonight. Every single one of you, we're going to pray silently. So you're going to talk to God with your thoughts because he can hear them. That's how it works. It's amazing. And I've got a simple prayer. Lord, what do you want to change? And I'm going to ask you to only pray that and then sit quietly with your eyes closed, with the entire room silent. And I want you to try to do something that some of you maybe have never done before, and that is still and quiet your heart enough and try to listen and see if God says something back. See if there's some impression or thought that comes into your mind of like, oh, this thing. So it may be a friendship. It may be an app on your phone. It may be school that you go to. It may be a relationship with somebody. I don't know what it will be, but I want you to see if there's anything God just presses on your heart or puts in your head of like, this is what I want you to change. And then just share that experience with your group when you get together. So this is short. I'm going to give you like 30 seconds to a minute, but we're all just going to sit here in silence with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, pray this prayer, Lord, what do you want to change? And then I'll jump back up here and we'll move on with the rest of the evening. All right, here we go. All right, I think that's a great little exercise to pray and have more of the time spent praying be listening than talking. So that's what we just did. We prayed and more of it was listening than talking. And I hope everybody like thought something, and I'm just going to be really open with you guys right now, and I'll tell you what popped in my head. And I don't know if it's from God or if it's from me, and I'm going to tell you then how I responded in my thoughts to what popped in my head. So I pray, Lord, what do you want to change? And here's what I thought after I sat there for a second in silence. The fact that you don't think you're enough right now. Like I had some moments this last week where I really felt like I was not up to the challenges of life. There were just a lot of things where it's like, I'm not enough. I'm not enough. And I was believing that about myself. And I just heard something tell me, I want to change that fact in your life. And then I just evaluated, I responded and I said, all right, is that truth from God's word, or is that just an idea from the world or from myself? And I thought of the book of 1 John, where it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And I was just reminded by God, you're my son. And that is enough. You're a child of God. The book of John, chapter 1, says, to all who believed in him, to those who have received him, he's given the right to be called children of God. And so for all of us who are believers in God, we are children of God. And he accepts us and he loves us because we're his, not because of anything we do or accomplish or are able to do. So I think that truth, whether or not it was my own mind recalling a truth or God speaking it to me, it was true because I understood God's word. And so we're going to talk a little bit more tonight about God's word. But before we do that, I want to recap for you where we're at in the program, then introduce tonight's testimony. We're at the second week of Life Change. And if you look at this picture, it looks like we're halfway through, but we're really not, because we're about two-thirds of the way through, because Initiate Reconciliation has 2 weeks, and then New Habits is one, and then Go and Share is the last week. So after tonight, we only have 4 more meetings left. And after tonight, we will have finished 8. So we're two-thirds of the way through. So we're almost done. So those of you that are here and you're generally keeping up, like, stick with it. You are two-thirds of the way done. And I'll tell you, these last ones, when it comes to the book work, doing the inventory and the repentance plan, that's the most work you will have done. And so you're going to be able to do the book work if you've gotten through those things on the last 3 letters. So you can do this. You can finish strong. All right. So that's where we're at in the program. You're going to start working on Initiate Reconciliation lessons this week and come and talk about them next week. And then we'll just have 3 weeks after that. Now I want to introduce you to Mason Boyle. Mason, come on up here to the stage. Let me turn on your microphone. Mason has been through Regeneration for Students and shared her testimony here before. So she is a veteran, and I'm excited for what she has to share. And just as a preview, and so you can get ready, I'm going to pop that microphone off when she's done and ask her a few follow-up questions about what she shares. So, Mason?
All right. So
I think it's really helpful that you happened to come, and we didn't plan it, but your story happened to come at this point, because tonight everybody's going to be sharing what they believe God wants to change. And they did the repentance plan. You remember that part. And then next is the letter I, which is initiate reconciliation, where we talk about really 2 things. One is forgiving people who have harmed us. And 2 is making amends and trying to make right for harms we've done or resentments that we've had and all that. And so you talked about, you came to Regeneration because there was brokenness in your relationship with your dad. So in the way that is most honoring to him, can you explain to everybody just a little bit more about what that brokenness looked like? Like how trust was broken or how a relationship was broken?
Yeah. My dad and I have just never had a great relationship. He treated me poorly just as I was a kid and growing up. And so as I began to get older and like mature more, I realized that our household is not what a godly household looks like. And so started to begin having anger and resentment towards him. And so that's kind of what led me to that brokenness and realizing I needed healing.
Yeah. And so when you went through your inventory, I'm sure he showed up at a couple different pages and different things. So what did it look like for you to forgive him? And then did you realize that you had a part in your relationship, and did you do anything about that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, after, again, as you said, after going through my inventory, he did pop up a lot, and I realized that I did hold a lot of anger and resentment towards him. And as I talked further with my step group and then also small group and small group leaders, they encouraged me to have that conversation with my dad. And I was pretty eager to jump right into that, but they encouraged me to slow down and kind of look at, again, what was in my own heart and what the role that I played in it. And so after having those conversations, I realized that I needed to ask him for forgiveness in just, I hadn't been loving him in the way that I'm called to as a believer. And so got to ask him for my own forgiveness for in that, or ask him for forgiveness from that. And then also let him know that I'd forgiven him for past sins.
So this is your dad, somebody that is older than you and like you're dependent on Like, he's supposed to be providing and, you know, protecting and caring for you and all that. So was it, like, intimidating and scary to set up, like a meeting? Like, Dad, I need a meeting. Or, like, how did that go? Like, because, like, a lot of people in this room in the next few weeks are going to be trying to forgive people and trying to, like, have conversations to say sorry and ask for forgiveness. So, like, how did you get over that hurdle to, like, have it? Or did you just wait for the right moment and jump in?
It took a lot of praying. I wanted to have that conversation, but wasn't sure how to necessarily go about that because he didn't want to have that conversation at first. So it just took a lot of prayer, and for whatever reason, I mean, I know it was the Lord, but don't know how it came to be. Just pursued him one night and asked if we could sit down and talk. That I just asked him more to listen, that I had a lot to say, and it kind of went from there.
Did you have, like, written out some notes of what you wanted to say, or you were just ready to go?
I had written out a little bit, but ended up not using my notes and just kind of went off.
You were winging it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And generally, did it go well?
Yeah, it definitely went.
That's awesome. Well. Last question, because on the repentance plan, and I don't know if you remember it, but you're writing through, like, all right, this is, like, triggers and things that get me in trouble. These are things I want to change. And this is scripture, that last column. And I noticed in your testimony, you ended with two scriptures. So here's my last question is, what is your, like, relationship like with God's word? Or, like, how much do you read the Bible? How did you know those Bible verses? Do you have somebody that teaches you the Bible? Do you have a certain type of Bible that you use to help you understand it? So tell us about that. Like, you and the Bible, go.
Okay. Well, as I said, I am in a small group and have been since sixth grade. I don't know if I stated this, but my family is not Christians. I'm the only believer in my family. And so after attending a few functions at Watermark and getting plugged into a small group, they introduced me more of the Bible and how to read it, and just have been reading it ever since. And so I would say it's definitely been hard because my family isn't believers. So if I don't want to have a relationship with the Lord, there's not necessarily a pressure to. So it's definitely a daily choice.
You got to take responsibility.
Yeah.
But you try to read your Bible every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, how, what helps you understand it?
Well, this is kind of weird, but I'm
not
really...
Do you use devotional books? Or?
I do use a devotional book, but this is a little bit different, I think, than most people. I'm not an auditory learner or anything like that. I'm like a visual learner, I guess you could say. And so I like to either journal or like write songs or do poems or paint. And so I like connect with the Lord through creative things.
That's awesome. All right, everybody, thank Mason for being here. That was awesome, Mason. All right, guys, so that's the little bit I want to talk to you about tonight. So we already covered the letter L. Here's where we are, orienting you and where we're at in the program. We started with help. I'm going to summarize that with I can't. I can't deal with the things that are going on in my life. Entirely trust God. I believe there's a God, and he can. So I'm going to turn to him. Assess the situation. I'm going to look at my life and go, what's really wrong? Like, I know the problems that I'm having, but what's beneath the surface, the way I'm responding to and handling my problems? And then right now, what we're trying to do in repentance is what's right. Like, what's the right thing to do? If there have been wrong things inside, what are the right things? And so many of you weren't here last week. I'm going to give you a quick recap. Confession, which you did at the end of assess the situation, without repentance, which is you were walking one way, believing one thing, thinking one thing. Repentance is turning around and going the opposite direction. It's actually changing the way you go about life. Confession without repentance is just an announcement. You're just saying, I'm messed up. I have these problems. I think this way wrong. I do these wrong things. And announcing it doesn't help if you don't turn from the thing that you're acknowledging is wrong. And we talked about last week three ways to change your life, and you found these in your bookwork. One was get out of the cage. If you're trying to tame a lion, eventually the lion is going to do what lions do. It's going to try to kill you and eat you. And so you got to get out of the lion cage. Stop going to the places and the playgrounds where you're getting into trouble. And that could be relationally, that could be physical location, a school, a team, someone's house, or that could be a digital location, an app, or you know, a website or something like that, and you got to shut those things down and never go in those cages. Then we talked about walking with the wise and changing your playmates. So playground playmates is a good way to remember it. But changing the people you go through life with, sometimes there are bad influences. You become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. There's the illustration of a chair where if Mason stood up on that chair, go ahead and stand up on the chair. It'll be fun. She stands up on the chair. Pull me up on the chair with you. Come on, pull me up. But I want to pull her down. It's so much easier to pull someone down than to pull someone up. And so if you're hanging around with people that are trying to pull you down, they're always going to pull you down. You're never going to elevate them. So we talked about walking with wise, you become wise. But a companion of fools gets pulled down, suffers harm. And then we're working on our actual repentance plan, changing the purpose and the way we live our life. And here's the thing I want to emphasize tonight was this screenshot of this website, openbible.info/topics. And there's that last column in your repentance plan where you go and investigate God's word. And I want to just remind you of a few things we've stated in here before about the Bible. The Bible, if you're a Christian, is our authority. It is our conscience and it is our guide in life. Psalm 119:105 says that your word, this book, is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. If you're trying to figure out what your life is all about and where you're going and what you're supposed to do next, God's word will be a lamp and a light. In 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses this to prepare and equip his people for every good work. Mason was prepared to do a good work tonight because she knew God's word. Matthew 4:4, Jesus is talking to a group of, Jesus was being tempted by Satan, and he answered him, no, the scriptures say people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So every single day, even if you skip breakfast, I bet everybody in this room eats something every day because you don't live if you don't eat. And your soul doesn't live if you don't feed on the word of God. So I loved how Mason said she tries to ingest this and read it and process it through art, through journaling, through drawing to help her understand it and believe it. Every day she eats the bread of life. And then lastly, Hebrews 4:12. I haven't mentioned this verse since our orientation, but the word of God is alive. This isn't a dead old book. It's alive and it applies today. And it's powerful. It's sharper than a sword. It like cuts to your heart. It says cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So I want to get out your phone and take a picture of this next screen. I want to commend and recommend to you a book. It's called 30 Days to Understanding the Bible. Because one of the biggest obstacles to Bible reading among young people is the fact that it is hard to understand. That's why I was kind of grilling Mason on like, all right, you read it every day, but how do you understand it? Because if you just open randomly to a page in the Bible, you're going to be totally lost and think it's pointless and you're going to quit. But this book is so simple. In 15 minutes a day for 30 days, this would be a great thing to start when you finish your book work in here. It will teach you how to understand the Bible. It'll show you that the Bible is divided out into different sections, and some of them are telling stories, some of them are poetry, some of it's prophecy, some of it's letters that people wrote to each other, and it'll give you an orientation as to what you're reading, when you're reading it, who's writing it, who they're writing it to, and on, it gives you all the tools and the clues to unlock the truth in the Bible, and it's in simple, everyday, 15 minutes a day. You do a lesson, you write a few things down, and you lock it away. And if you do that for 30 days, now the Bible, it's like it was in black and white, now it's in color. And you start to understand, wow, this is what this thing is talking about. This is the central message that everything is pointing back to. It's a wonderful book. And so if you, looking up the verses, putting them in your repentance plan, that's step one. Step two is beginning to have a plan to read through and understand the whole thing. It's a wonderful story. It's transformed my life. It's transformed the lives of every leader in this room, and I believe God will use it in yours as well. So again, the website to get you started is the Open Bible website, but then make sure you pick up that book. All right, I'm going to pray for you and get you off to your rooms. You got 50 minutes to share your repentance plans and what God wants to change in your life. Dear Lord, I pray that you would help us to see. Would you show us, even as we're walking up to the room, if there's a restless heart in here, would you give it rest, that there's a clear purpose and plan you have for their lives, and there's big changes that may be hard changes that they need to make. And I do pray that you would help them as they go into the initiate reconciliation lessons, show them how they need to forgive others and then where they need to make amends for things that they've done. So Lord, would you guide their steps as they do that work as well? In Jesus' name, amen.